Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today's June 26, 2009. I want to start today with several different scriptural themes that have been on my heart over the last week or so. But I want to start from this foundation, one of the most basic, serious foundation stones that you can have in your life. And that's the words of Jesus as recorded in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Those are the first two commandments. The first is to love the Lord your God, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Herein lies the whole law of God, the whole teaching of God that was handed to Moses, who saw God face to face, who God spoke to as a friend. You have to love the Lord your God. Not loving the Lord your God will have serious ramifications. My dad, according to the flesh, taught me that every action has a reaction. And it's true. What we sow, we'll reap. God's not mocked. And loving God has a certain blessing. Loving your neighbor as yourself has certain blessings. God will find no fault if you do those two things. Walking with God, loving God, being one with Lord in total unity, surrender to his lordship. He's your God. He's a potter. You're clay. God is molding us and fashioning us into what? The image of his dear son, Jesus Christ. There is no other image that God would mold you into that would be pleasing. So delight in that fact that the Lord loves you and that he loved us while we were yet sinners, and Christ died for us when we were yet without strength, died for us for the sins of the world on a cross, became a curse because it was written in the law of Moses, "Cursed is he that hangs on a tree." And that's what Jesus did. For the sins of the whole world. Shedding his blood, the life was in his blood. And he travailed before the Father because he was perfectly innocent. And we're perfectly guilty. And God's commanded all of us to repent and to believe on his son, Jesus. See, he loved us so much that God gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him would not be perishing, but would find everlasting life in Jesus. Can you not see why God has called you to love him? He's worthy, truthful, kind, loving, merciful, gracious, slow to wrath, of great blessings. But he's to be respected because he's a king. He's a father. And he has told us from the beginning how the end would take place. And that's why we should study the scripture to show ourselves approved as a workman that would not be ashamed, but that we would rightly divide the word of truth. In a day of lies and myths and abominable belief systems, you can believe the truth that's in the scripture. Do you value truth? You'll find it in the Bible. You'll find it in the person of Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. Now today, it's in my heart to tell you, this is the chief foundation stone. You must love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Those about you, around you. Those that are lovely, those that are not lovely, those that are kind, those that are not kind. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what Jesus told us. If you just bless those that bless you, what thank have you? What big deal? Even the heathen do that. But if you be as your Father that lets his sun shine on the wicked and the just, and lets his rain water the whole earth, then you're reflecting the Father. You have the same spirit of the Father. Love the Lord. Delight in the Lord. He's worthy. I bless you with that. really being amazing as we see these things that the Lord has taught us in the scriptures, particularly Jesus Christ, is recorded in the Gospels. For example, Matthew 24, Luke chapter 17, chapter 21, Mark chapter 13. You could read the book of Revelation, the prophet Daniel. Many scriptures, and the apostles too, talked about the end times, the times that they were expecting to come to pass. Details upon details are given to us. Why? That we be not ignorant. That we be mindful of the days that we live and know how we ought to serve the Lord. That we wouldn't be deceived in a day of deception and seduction. Men have written laws that violate God's law. Every kind of evil that God has clearly told us from the beginning, what was right, what was wrong, men think by writing laws can change the reality. But no. Ladies and gentlemen, as we said, what you sow to your flesh, you will reap corruption in the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life and peace. God's risen up to judge. This is the time to be aware of this fact. God's dealing with men. He's dealing with their spirits, their attitudes. He's sending conviction through the Holy Spirit throughout all the world. And the gospel of the kingdom of God is being proclaimed through the world. And this is the chief sign of the end of the age, is the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom of God will be proclaimed through the ends of the earth. And then the end shall come. I talk about a list that Jesus gave us as we read Matthew 24. About the time of the end of the age, the times preceding his second coming. He talked about it to his disciples. They asked him, what will it be like, Lord? How will we know? And he gave them details upon details and warned them about deception first. Talked to them about wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation, which is ethnos against ethnos, kingdom against kingdom. The end wouldn't be yet. There'd be pestilence and famines and earthquakes in various places. And then there'll be great persecution. Those that believe in Jesus, they're like lambs, innocent, following their Lord, being persecuted, harmed, wrongfully. Because sin increases in those days, the hearts of many will grow cold. And people will betray others, even father betraying his son. And a son betraying his father, and a mother betraying her daughters, and daughters betraying the mothers. Every man for themselves. This is the atmosphere that Jesus has described. And this is why you must prepare in prayer, in devotion, in absolute surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He has called you unto himself, into his kingdom. And he calls you to absolute, total abandonment, total surrender. Not to do your will, not to use God's scripture for yourself, but to be truly his servant, his son, reflecting his nature, turning the cheek in meekness to those that oppose themselves, that are lying about you. You are called to be a light in a dark world, because the coming of Jesus Christ is drawing near. There's a lot of pseudo-spirituality, isn't there? False prophets, false Christs, false ministers that build their own empire, build their own name, just like Babylon. They use the scripture. They have a lingo, but it's foreign to him. Remember Shiloh, the house of God, where his worship was ordained by God himself, and the elaborate system of worship, the priesthood and the sacrifices. God's name was there, and he hallowed it. And it was special. This is recorded in the scripture. But when his people went astray from him and absorbed foreign belief systems from the pagans, the heathens, the neighboring neighbors, took other gods, God said, he rose up early through his prophets, called them to repent, but they wouldn't listen. They had no delight in the word of the Lord. Truth had perished in the land, just like in Jeremiah's day. And God wrote the word Ichabod upon his house, which means my glory has departed. Ladies and gentlemen, if God would do that to his own house, and it's recorded in Scripture so we would learn from the errors of his people in previous days, how shall we not learn in this day? Things that began one day to serve the Lord, only to go astray from the Lord, to be foreign from him. He found no pleasure, distanced himself, and the people do not notice for the most part. In Jeremiah's day, this is recorded. The priests don't say, "Where's the Lord?" The prophets say not, "Where's the Lord?" And the people say not, "Where's the Lord?" They don't recognize that his glory is not present. They don't recognize that his feelings are grieved. It's just a religion, an act. People going through the motions. And that's with the religious sector of the world, ladies and gentlemen. And for the most part, as you know, most people don't profess faith in Jesus Christ. They're God's many, Lord's many. But unto us there's one God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and one Lord Jesus Christ, who's crucified and resurrected according to the Scripture, and seen after 3 days as that resurrection handled, touched by over 500 people. Our Lord is coming back. And the details are written in the Scripture. And people have been in the religious environment their whole life. They know the signs, they know the times, they know the Scriptures, they know the warnings. But somehow, a corruption has taken place inside their being. There's a devil. There's a Satan, an adversary, a dragon. He's a defiler. And if you give inch to the devil, he'll take a mile. And we're to give no place to the devil. Your life is precious, ladies and gentlemen. Precious. So precious that the Father gave you his only begotten Son to die on a cross, to shed his blood, to purchase you, to redeem you. You ought to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength and all your mind. And your life is no longer your own, but you're purchased by that precious blood to serve him. To serve him. And Jesus said, be careful. He was talking to his disciples, his followers. Take heed to yourself. Many times Jesus gave this admonition. Take heed, be careful. Watch out. Do not let your heart be overcharged, he said, with overeating and drinking and the cares of this life. To the point, ladies and gentlemen, what Jesus said was your heart can be so filled with other things that you'll lose your discernment. Even though you know what the Bible says, you won't perceive it when it's right in front of you. You won't see it. And it'll come upon you unawares. There are those that will say that their master has delayed his coming. They've lost hope. They think he's not near when he is. They don't know what he's doing. They don't know what he's saying. But yet they can quote scriptures for their own agenda. Danger. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, the coming of Jesus Christ draws near. And as Paul said, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ.